And we do certainly challenge you and encourage you to stop by the table after the service and see some of the offerings there from Crown College. It's a wonderful place, and I trust that you'll get acquainted with it. It's not very far from us, only about an hour and a half, and so we're very grateful for the ministry. Well, this evening, as you know, Brother John Stevens, we've already mentioned much about him, but he was our interim pastor, and he also has pastored churches and from all the way from California to South Carolina, and has pastored churches, growing churches, winning the lost, and strengthening the saints, and he's been a great blessing to the churches that he's been at. But one thing that the Lord has used him in is to make a continuous line when a church goes through a transition, as he did here at Buffalo Ridge, but this is not the only church. A good friend of mine pastors in Troy, Ohio, and Brother Stevens also was instrumental in helping that church through a great transition, and so he's been used of the Lord as he was here in other places, but he will be quick to tell you that you are his favorite. All those other places. Now, what he says when he's at those places, I can't tell you, but that's what he says while he's here anyways. But he is a great, great blessing, and we certainly are thankful for him, and so it is a joy to get to introduce you again to him, to Dr. John Stevens, going to preach for us tonight. Dr. Stevens, come and preach for us. We're so thankful for you being here, and I trust that you will listen gladly to the Word of God as he preaches. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, preacher. Thank you for inviting me and my wife. This is a beautiful auditorium, isn't it? And I know Wade Heatherly. Where's Wade? Wade Heatherly. Wade Farmer. Excuse me, Wade. Wade Heatherly for getting mixed up with you. But anyway, you did a great job leading the project here. And I heard when they dedicated the auditorium, you had to wear a tie. That must have been a sight. I want to thank you, Brother Marty. I'm asking God to forgive you for the exaggerated comments and forgive me for enjoying them. Good to have me here tonight and good to have my wife. I was sitting over here and she sat over there with the Bryants, and I told her one time, she ever leave me, I'm going with her no matter what. So thank the Lord for her. We're both not as steady on our feet. I have to have somebody kind of help me up and down sometimes, but it's okay. I'll be 80 next month. I don't look it. Larry Stover looks it, but I don't look 80. I can't believe Larry Stover. He told me, he said, now cut it short because he wanted the ice cream. This is the guy who just got out of the hospital with a heart attack, worried about eating ice cream. Linda, where are you? In the nursery? Well, that's where you don't belong, yeah, brother. Right. Anyway, I hope she can keep you in line, and we'll just spend a few moments, however long. It'll probably be a little more than 5 minutes. Is that okay, Daniel? I really don't care what you think, but I thought I'd say that anyway. Daniel's still making those long announcements, isn't he? He doesn't even take a breath in between. They just go, boom, you know, just keeps it going. I don't understand a word he's saying. He's going so fast. Anyway, but praise the Lord. Take your Bibles tonight, and let's spend a few moments in the book of Isaiah, the third chapter of Isaiah. I don't know what this water's here for. I know you're not having a baptismal service tonight, so no, it's not for that. Thank you, Pastor, for inviting. I don't know why I'm here, really. I'm being honest with you. I haven't the slightest idea why I'm here. You've done so good to me. Before I left, you were so good to me, and now you invite me back. I really think it's all for Marilyn, but I thank you for letting me come, and I'm going to try to get through this without weeping. My heart is heavy tonight for our country. I hope it's heavy for your heart today. If I would title this message, I would title this, I Never Thought I Would See the Day. That's what I would title this message tonight as I look at Isaiah chapter 3 in your Bibles, please. We realize that the Lord is very unhappy with Israel in this text. As a matter of fact, he is going to make 5 very interesting statements that I hope to go with you tonight. Now, if you get too tired and you want to go get ice cream, you go get it. We'll shoot you, but if you want to go get it. But our Lord was very unhappy, and he was talking about the judgment of Israel. Now, there are two countries that I pray for daily. One is America. I wish we could get our people to pray fervently for the United States of America. You aren't going to have missionaries going out if things continue the way they're going. It's not going to happen. Because we see our country with rapidity falling into deep, deep sin. And then I think of Israel. I think there are three reasons why God has blessed America. One of them is because our country was founded on Bible principles, of which we are eroding those principles today. And the other is because of the missionaries that we're sending out. But I think the main reason is our relationship with Israel. God will bless any country that blesses Israel and will curse any country that curses Israel. And we see that today. But I want to begin in verse 4, and what I'm going to say today, tonight to you, is almost, as I look at this chapter, it is like looking at the newspaper or listening to the television newscast as you look at this chapter. Because I find, first of all, the need, the decadency of our country today. Israel went into captivity because of their great sins. And notice the sins, because he brings out five of them. First, they had rulers who were incompetent. Look there in verse 4, if you will, please. I will give children to be their princes and babes to rule over them. Incompetent leaders, children, incompetent in their ability, babes incompetent in their authority. Before I left home, I picked up a commentary just to kind of glance and meditate a little bit. It was by Dr. J. Vernon McGee. I don't know if you're familiar with him or not. How many know who J. Vernon McGee is? May I say to you, my dearly beloved, that's McGee. I used to go hear him a lot when I pastored in California, and I went to college out there. But he pointed out, he says, we got leaders today who are wearing diapers spiritually. We have incompetent, and we have those with no authority. The result is we have weak leadership today in our country. That's one of the first things that happened to Israel, was weak leadership, and we see that today. The second one is found here in verse 5. Look at verse 5. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the base agent, and the base against the honorable. There's two things in verse 5. First of all, I see, in verse 4, the removal, rulers were incompetent, but I see the removal of restraints there in verse 5. The people shall be oppressed, everyone by his neighbor. I thought I'd never see the day when we're talking about defunding the police. I hope you pray for our policemen. I pray for Scotty. Jamie, I pray for Scotty, and I pray for other policemen that I know by name, because they are laying their life on the line that you and I can meet here tonight. I am preaching all this not because it's a political message, to remind us our country is in trouble, and the only answer is found with God's people. You're not going to find it any other place, because we have the power from heaven to pray and do the things that are necessary. Defunding the police. We're seeing more crime than we've ever seen, and our police officers are dying left and right. Lord, help us. Rulers who are incompetent, babes in diapers, no authority given to them, no ability, that is. Removal of restraints. Then notice here, the child shall behave himself against the agent. Look there again in verse 5 again. Let's read it. And child shall behave himself proudly against the agent. Who are the agents here? He's referring, I believe, to the fathers of that country that began Israel. We thank God. Listen, folks, they're tearing down monuments of great people all across our land today. Men that ought to be respected and ought to be looked upon as thankful. I thought about today that the younger generation is trying to get the older generation to adapt to the new ways of the present. And we are so busy in the older generation trying to get them to appreciate the past and our leaders. We're destroying, notice it says there in verse 5, proudly against, and the base against the honorable, the leaders. We're erasing our history. We're erasing it. We're in trouble. We're erasing the very thing that kept this country great. God help us today. The base against the honorable. I thank God for our military. Marty, where are you? Thank you, sir. I salute you tonight for being on the National Guard. Those who have served our country so wonderfully, I say thank you tonight for giving of that service. But military is looked down upon, and our flag is looked down upon. Recently, I saw on television on the news where a little 6 or 7 year old boy was riding his bike by a house and ripped the flag up. And we have those who want to go to the Olympics and turn their back on that flag, which drips in blood of the soldiers that gave their life. I think we need to realize the trouble we're in today. We have rulers who are incompetent. We have a removal of the restraints when the child will behave himself proudly against the older people. When we see that, the base against the honorable. I also see a refusal of personal responsibility. Look there. This has happened in Israel. This is happening in us. Where's the repeat today? Look there in verse 6 and 7. Take a moment. He makes three statements in verse 6 and 7. Notice in verse 6, when a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father and say, thou hast clothing, be thou a ruler over us. In other words, I don't want to work. I refuse to provide for my family. We'll let somebody else do it. We're in trouble today, folks. I know that we've got an exciting day, and you wish maybe I would have preached on something a little more positive, but my heart is heavy tonight. I'm an old man. I'll be 80 in another month, and some of you are older than me here tonight. Bob Edwards is at least 95, but anyway, others are old here. And Larry Trent, you're my good friend, but if you say hang around Bob Edwards, you're going to be in trouble. I'm just going to tell you. Evil company corrupts good things in life. He's a good man, both of them. But I see here, he says there in verse 6, thou hast clothing, be thou a ruler over. And then he says the second thing here, not only does he talk about refusal to work, we got outfits or willing to give large bonuses. If we can just get people to go to work, my mama taught me so many years ago. We remember the end of the 40s, the beginning of the 50s, long time ago, when we were so poor we couldn't even pay attention. We were so poor. Mama, somebody told me one time, said, you know, you're poor. My mama said, son, get over it, get out and cut more lawns and make more money. We need to work. I hope today that we understand that great responsibility we have to teach our children those principles. You don't work, you don't eat. Now, I know there's some who can't work, but I am talking about the overall affairs of our country. Notice he says, not only to reject the wrong, and then he says, let this ruin be under thy hand. In other words, we don't want to take personal responsibility. We're in trouble today, folks. Notice also as we move on, and I'm trying to look at that clock and move on. I've already gone over that 5 minutes. We not only have rulers who are incompetent and removal of restraints and refusal of personal responsibility. But number four, we have rebellion against the God of heaven. Look in verse 8 through verse 9. I'll not read them all, but we see in verse, for Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen because their tongue and their doings are what? Against the Lord. Against the Lord. In 1962, my wife and I were married. We'll celebrate 59 years. And by the way, we're both celebrating our 80th birthday this year, and next year be married 60 years. You pray that she'll stay with me. But I think about, since we've been married, the things that have the Supreme Court has decided against God. I want you to just think with me quickly. In 1962, the year I was married, and Marilyn and I, to remove prayer from the public schools. It was a great tragedy. I remember years when I was in school that we prayed. You learn to pray. But it's dangerous today to pray, they say. Number 1963 was the decision to ban Bible reading in our public schools. In 1973, decision to legalize abortions. And since that decision in 1973, 63 million babies have been slaughtered. Now that ought to do something to us, folks. We ought to say we're in trouble in this country today when you kill 63. Listen, Hitler killed 6 million Jews, but we've killed 63 million babies. I remember the governor of Virginia who, as I was watching news, got on and he said, listen, he said, they asked him about abortions. He said, I think the baby that is born ought to just lay on the table and the mother and doctor ought to decide whether or not that baby should live. We look at the, let's not forget these things. Our country is in great trouble. Decision to ban the posting of the Ten Commandments in 1980. And then the decision to legalize homosexuality in the year 2003. Now let me show you something. There are only two genders. Only two. Male and female. It's not God created Eddie and Freddie, Sally or Susie. It's Adam and Eve. And America has forgot the truth of God's word. We today are just... I heard of a teacher in a public school who got in trouble because he would not refer to them as them instead of what they really are. Decision to legalize same-sex marriages took place in 2015. So all these things, our country, as much as God is blessing this church, that all can cease unless something happens. The answer, I believe, for the Christian is found in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Would you take a moment to turn to that great passage of 2 Chronicles? Because I do not believe that the answer will be with our politicians, with those who, and I appreciate those who would see, want Trump to be back in office. I'd rather have him than the thing we got today. And if you don't like that, get your liker fixed, because it's true. He doesn't want to kill babies. Also, those things. But no politician will solve the problems of the United States of America. Only God and God's people. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, as I close tonight, whenever I close, there are four things I want to say for you rather briefly. Number one, let us not forget who we are. If my people, who are called by my name. You realize sitting in this auditorium is the most powerful force on this planet. is a Christian, who can make a difference at every church tonight. If my people, thank God, he was referring to Israel in that passage, but today we are still God's people. We've been born again in the family of God. Secondly, in that text, not only let's not forget who we are, let us not forget the assembling of ourselves. What do I mean by that? Look there in verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. We are living in a time when a lot of people now, because of COVID-19, they don't want to come back to church. I can sit at home with a cup of coffee in my hand, in my bathrobe and slippers, and I can watch it on TV. Folks, we need to get our people back together as quickly as we can, or the judgment of God is going to be real in this country. Look over there, if you will, for a moment to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Go there with me real quick in Hebrews, the 10th chapter. And look there at verse 25. Not the forsaking of the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Not for, as the manner of some is. COVID-19 is over with. Let's move on. I understand. Marilyn and I both had COVID. But I think we need to realize the assembly of ourselves is a powerful force for God as we assemble ourselves together. But exhort one another so much more as you see the day approaching. What day is approaching? The day of Christ's return. The day of Christ's return. And I will share with you today, we need to get back there to that thought. Now the world may be out of control, but God is in control. Amen. So we need to ever before, like that, let's not forsake that word. That means you humble yourself. People today, they tell me that 30% of the people who have left the church to the COVID, 30% may not return. Well, this is a great group here tonight, preacher. God's good to you. But there's still a bunch out there that need to get back to the assembling themselves all across this country, because the church is a mighty force for God. I think it's found in that word humble. I'm hearing all the time people who, I can just listen to somebody on TV. Blow your TV up if that be the case. I used to tell my people when the Super Bowl would come, and I would say, you know, folks, if you aren't here tonight, I'm going to pray God will blow your TV up. And I think the same is if you're going to stay home when you can be in church. Now, you're here tonight. I'm preaching to the choir, you might say. But, folks, we need to get people excited about the church and about your pastor, about the preaching, about God, what is God's doing here for the glory of God. Let us not forget who we are. Let us not forsake the assembly. Let's humble ourselves under the hand of God and realize how much we need one another. I need you. You need me tonight. You can't go it alone. You need each other. And let us not face our days or our tomorrows without his presence and power. Look at that verse, going back to the passage we're looking at in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. Look there, and he says, and pray, and seek my face. Now, get those two words, because right here is what it's all about. And the idea of that word pray has the idea of his presence. But seek my face has to do with his power. We need his power. A praying group of people can change everything. And I think today we need prayer meetings all across this country for America before it's too late, before we fall as a nation. Now, I don't find the United States in Bible prophecy, preacher. I can't. I've looked. I can't find it. And I know there may be something. I'll tell you something. God will keep this land is free and going as long as we'll just make that habit of his presence and of his power. My prayer tonight is that we will not forget who we are. We're the church of the living God. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the power of, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church does not need to be on the defense. We need to be on the offense. And we do that through prayer. And we do that through seeking the face of God. I hope today. Well, how's your prayer life? One thing the burden has done to me is extended my prayer life like it's never extended it before. You say, but preacher, you don't know how busy we are. Busy, B-U-S-Y, being under Satan's yoke. Be careful with busyness. Spend time with him. Pray for this country. Pray that God will get a hold of our leaders. Pray. I pray that our president will get converted. Some of you are afraid to pray that because you dislike him so much. But you know he's a soul on his way to hell who needs Jesus Christ. I think it's even harder to pray for Pelosi. But I pray for him. And Chuck Schumer, I pray for him. They're all Catholics. But they need our prayers. If they don't get converted, they're going to spend eternity in hell. We need to get serious about prayer and seeking the face of God for our country. We need to get serious about it. And number four, let us not find ourselves under the judgment of God. Look there again as I think about this. And seek my face and turn from your wicked ways. I thought that, wait a minute there, preacher. We're talking about not only that, let's not forget who we are. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves. Let's not face our days or tomorrows without his presence and power. But let us not find ourselves under the judgment of God. Turn to Nehemiah as we close tonight. Or sometime we're going to close. Whenever it happens. Go to Nehemiah chapter 1. Why am I having you turn there? Because here we have a man, Nehemiah, who was living in the comfort zone. And I think at times we're living in the comfort zone. And God moved that man out of the comfort zone. And God did use him because he had a job for him. And then we notice as he found out about Jerusalem and Israel and the trouble that was in, it broke his heart. We need to get broken in heart over our country. And I want you to notice as I close tonight, I've said that three times, I'm eventually going to do it. But look at verse 4. And it came to pass when I heard these words, you'll find that he did five things, and I close with that tonight. Here's what he said. He said, I sat down. God wants our time. Be still and know that I'm God. Are you spending any time with God? Or all the activities, even of the church and your job and your family, to where there's no time for God? No wonder we're not seeing what we need to see in our country. He wants our time. And then second, notice here, he wept. He wants our tears. I don't know about you, but in my prayer time, I've often broken, just wept over our country. I've wept over those 63 million babies that have been slain. I've wept over the police officers who've been shot that I don't even know, who are giving their life that I can be here tonight. And you can be here tonight. I see those tears. I see here, and he mourned. God wants us to be troubled over what troubles him. You hear what I just said? He wants us to be troubled over what troubles him. It troubled God when 63 million babies can die. It troubles God when we can be taught in our country that there is more than two sexes. God's trouble. I can remember when that would never have happened in our country. I think if we're not careful, we as Christians are going to get used to just accepting that as fact. That's the thing that frightens me. I'm 80 years old. I don't have any. Brother Lassley, you know, you're old when you're 80. You're well stricken when you're 85 and older, brother. You're well stricken tonight in age. But I think here, he not only said, sat down and not only wept, he mourned, but he fasted. God wants to be, wants to get a hold of our everything about us. When's the last time you just fasted? Oh, you said, I did that the other day, I went to a fast food. No. When you just miss some meals and got alone with God and said, God, get a hold of me so I can get a hold of what you want for our country. And then he said, and prayed before God. God not only wants our tears, our time, our troubles, our total being, but he wants our trust. He wants our trust. My prayer is that we all in this auditorium tonight will take seriously and just not, well, this is the days in which we live. It's okay if they want to kill babies. It's okay if they want to kill our police officers. It's okay if they want to run down our military. We need to go to God and get broken so that our country can recover. Father, tonight, thank you for this great church, for my time here tonight. My heart is heavy, but I pray you'll do in our hearts what you need. In Christ's name, Pastor.
Well, we've heard a wonderful man of God speak about the need for our nation. And as the ladies begin to play and you hear that, I'm just going to ask you to, if you want to slip up the altar here and pray for this nation and pray that God would forgive us our sins and would see people rise up and stand for Him. I'm going to ask you if you're able to stand together with us. If you'd like to slip down the altar and pray for America, pray that God would let a group of us. Brother Stevens did held nothing back when he said who the need was. And it's us. We can complain all day. I'm right there with you. I can do it just with the best of them to complain about all the people who are doing wrong and wickedness going on. But you notice he put the blame or the need right back on us to pray for the salvation of some people. People are in high places. What have we been doing to pray? I complain a lot more than I pray, I imagine. You can take issue and say, well, this, that, or the other, or maybe should have brought out this. What about this? I'm telling you, folks, we've got a great need to be in prayer for this nation. If Jesus would allow us, I want our church to be reaching people and have the freedom to continue going out, knocking on doors and telling folks about the good news of Jesus Christ and opening these doors without fear and preaching the gospel of Christ. Would you come and pray tonight? And if you're not able to come, pray there in your seat, asking the Lord to take America and forgive us and my people. Call by my name, humble ourselves, seek His face. Are we doing that? Maybe you're here tonight, and Brother Stevens didn't preach specifically on this, but it was all mixed in there about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to this earth to save sinners. If you're here tonight and you're not sure of salvation, you're not sure you're saved, would you step out and come? If you'd step out and come, I'll meet you down here at the front with a Bible and show you how you can be sure that heaven's your home. Jesus is your Savior. You lay your head on a pillow tonight, not afraid of what's going to happen to you. Would you come tonight? Thank you, Father, for this time to be in your house. I pray that you would bless our wonderful servants that have come our way, the Stevenses. Keep them healthy. Keep them safe, dear Lord. Bless them. Thank you for the blessings they are to us. I pray, Lord, that you would pour it back onto them. And I do pray for this nation, our leadership, dear Lord. Pray that you would turn them to you. And I pray, dear Lord, that each of us, we may think it's insignificant, but I pray that each of us would stand with compassion, but stand for the truths of the Word of God in our spots where we get to reside. Bless in Jesus' name. Thank you for the food and the fellowship that we'll have as well. Amen. Well, thank you. May look this way. If you made homemade ice cream and you brought it in, if you wouldn't mind slipping out there, we're going to exit back the back door and go through the courtyard. So if you made some and you can get out there so that we'll know which ones to come to. Amy's already made her way out there. We made some this afternoon. And so if it's good, you're welcome. If it's not, do like your mom said. Don't say anything. If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. But we are thankful to be out here tonight. And so here's what we're going to do. Again, when we dismiss, we'll dismiss out through here, go through the breezeway in between this building and the next, and then come into the courtyard, which is right here between this building and the other. If you choose, you can go right here behind Miss Cole and go down those steps. And that exits out there as well. Just got to go up or down, then up the steps again. But either way, however you get there, that'd be fine. But we want to dismiss in just a moment to do that. But we, again, want to say thank you, Brother Stevens. Miss Stevens, thank you for being here. You know that if it hadn't been for you, we would have never had him come back, don't you? That's right. Yes, Miss Stevens, if it hadn't been for her, we would have never had you come back. Yes, the deacons told me that. Yes. No, we are so thankful for this good, great, wonderful couple. Thank you so much for being here with us tonight. And I think that's all that we have. Be praying for Brother Daniel and the day camp tomorrow that starts. Pray for safety. Pray for a wonderful time. Pray for a great all the days. And then as you leave, the ushers will be back there for the offering. And then also, if you've got your card for the Stevens, you can either give it to them personally. They'll be back here in the lobby. Brother Stevens, if you don't mind, get Miss Marilyn, and we'll have you head on back to the lobby there somewhere. Brother Dan, if you want to help them back that way. And then they'll make their way out to some ice cream as well, if they're able to, if they desire to. But let me make sure any other... And then we just want to give a little time for our, if you're going to come out and you're our seniors, I think Brother Dan put this on my note because he's over the seniors ministry, but Brother Dan said if you're in the seniors ministry, and I'm thinking that he said that because he heads up the seniors ministry. Brother Dan Rogers, but if you want to make your way back through there, we won't rush and all that, but we'll make our way. We've got lots of fixings and lots of stuff for the ice cream. Thank you for being in church tonight. It's a little longer than normal, but it's a great place to be. I'm going to ask the ladies from Crown College and Brother Timothy to be back by their table, and if you have some interest in seeking the Lord and going to a great place to study, learn about Him, learn His Word, then I challenge you to get some of the information from Crown College. They'll only stay there for just a little while. Then we want them to come over and enjoy some ice cream with us as well, and we'll fellowship. Hope you're not in a hurry. God looks like He's held the rain off for us for just a little while, and so I hope you're able to stay in fellowship with us. Thank you so much for being in church. God bless you. You're dismissed.